Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories in the business world. We have Ken Daschau at New York's Classic Rock Q104.3. It's such a pleasure. We've seen each other here at the studio from time to time. Ken has always talked about AI, artificial intelligence, and so we're here to pick his brain on that today.
Well, and I just want to say, yeah, he has a very rich, deep, happy voice. Like, he loves what he's doing, and he's just got this intonation that you just love listening to him.
Yeah, very verbal. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, do it for a long time and on the air. God, since 1978, I don't even want to do the math, but here in New York, since 82. And, you know, everything, we talk about branding. Well, my voice, what you're hearing now, or my image of what I do on social media, that is my brand. That's me. I am Ken Daschau, for better or worse. If you love it, if you hate it, that's fine. It's however you react to it. But the thought that somebody else could simply sample it and repurpose it for their own use, A, without asking, and B, without paying, is terrifying.
Which is why we're here, because we're here to talk about AI in the entertainment industry. Ken, tell us about what you think the state of AI in the entertainment industry is today.
I think it's the biggest threat to any sense of entertainment you've ever had, from movies to TV to music to the spoken word. There's never been a threat like this before, because the goal of people is to do everything as cheaply as possible. The producers, and we understand that. Their job is to manage costs, and we all get that. That's what it's about. But the thought of simply replacing me with a computer that sounds like me is a lot cheaper than paying me to do my work. But I believe in my heart of hearts, a computer can sound like me, but it won't create the ideas. It won't talk about the stories. The part of what we do, what makes radio, whether you're listening over the air, online, on the iHeartRadio app, what makes it special is who we are, the stories we tell, how we relate to the music, what we share with you. And AI can't create that. It can only copy it.
Right. It wasn't at the Stone Pony in New Jersey, for instance, 20 years ago.
Exactly. It wasn't there to tell the Bruce story. When just recently, when I told the story, I host this big benefit every year called Love Rocks NYC to benefit God's Love We Deliver and all these stars. And when I tell a story about backstage, about Trey Anastasio from the band Phish, the biggest jam band in the world, being the ultimate fanboy of Cher and losing his mind and trying to run out on stage to play with her because it means that much, AI can't tell that story. No. It can sample what I sound like. It can say, here are the Beatles, but it doesn't have content. And all of my musician friends see it happening left, right, and sideways. Rather than be hired to play, they just ask the computer to create some music and they use it.
It's unfortunate. It's kind of the lazy way to do it, but it lacks the richness. And a performer evolves over time. They have experience, right? And they live through things. And those experiences are reflected in their performances, right? And AI can't do that. It's sort of AI goes out onto the internet, and it sort of takes the average of all of the stuff that's out there.
That's exactly it.
And it puts it together in some sort of compilation. And it sounds okay to a certain extent, but I don't think you're going to reach a pinnacle that a real artist can reach.
100%, Richard. It can make something that sounds like a Billie Eilish song. It can make something that sounds like what already exists. But all of the artists that are special to us, from George Gershwin to the Beatles to Mozart, you can create a Chopin prelude that sounds like Chopin, but it won't have the heart and soul. It'll sound like it. And when you think about legendary songs of Stormy Weather to the Beatles to John Lennon's In My Life, why does that make us tear up? Is it the minor key? No, it's because it came from his heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was listening to Now and Then, which was the Beatles tune that was nominated or eventually won the Emmy, right? The Grammy, I'm sorry, in 2025. I respect the Beatles a lot, but I don't think that that song got to the level of their original music. And they used AI to create and produce that.
Well, let me sort that out, because that's been a big bone of contention. Where AI works great, where it works on a technical level, John Lennon made this cassette tape of him playing the piano demos. There were three demos on it. And on it, it says for Paul. And Yoko got it to Paul. And why they couldn't use the song before is because they couldn't separate the piano and John's voice. And it always sounded really ratty. But because of AI, they were able to sample the song. And technically, the absolute vibrations of the frequencies of John's voice and the piano were different. It separated the piano and the voice. So that then they could mix the piano separately, John's voice separately, and then augment John's voice. And to make his voice stronger, they didn't use AI. Paul McCartney sang like John. Because if you've been singing with somebody since you're 14 years old and he's 16, I assure you, Paul can sing exactly like John can. It's up in the noise like this. Well, yeah, Paul's more up here and John's down here. But he can do it perfectly. So that's the best use of it. Think of the movie that Peter Jackson did, Get Back, where he separated out all the tracks so we could have it. That's where AI is used to great effect. Replacing Ringo on a drum track is not the Beatles. But the emotional part of that song to me is, I can't imagine on this cassette written by your oldest friend in the world, your closest friend, that says, for Paul, and the lyric is, now and then I miss you. Oh, I don't know how he got through it without crying his eyes out.
So there's a push right now. There are a number of performers, they're actors mostly, who are petitioning the new administration because Google and OpenAI want to take everything for free and use whatever they want and use this piece of copyright law called fair use to just basically steal everybody blind. But it's not even the compensation for people like you, is from what I'm hearing. It's the fact that they're taking your stuff and they're making it something awful that it's not supposed to be without your permission. And that's it. They don't want to have to get permission. They don't want to obey the copyright rules of this country. So what do you think the answer? Should we all petition our Congress people? Like, what do we do?
100%. If every, you know, we always say, write your congressman. But for real, if you still want to read books, if you want TV shows, if you want original, if you think that an artist or a creator or somebody should be paid a fair wage to do their work just as you are, please write to them and say, it's not right to simply take somebody else's work and call it your own, because no matter how you explain it, no matter what you say, it's simply stealing. You did something. We're creating this podcast called Passage to Profit. And when it goes on the air, I can simply take it, download it, and say, this is my show. And literally, you can hide it any way you want, but that's what they're doing. My wife's an actress, and the actors and the writers were on strike for so long. Right. And it hurt, but my wife was last, as she's usually the fourth name or the fifth name on a show. And what they said is, we will give you $1,000, we scan your face, we get your image, and then the studio can use it in perpetuity. We can use you in any story for any reason, because we own your image and your voice. For $1,000.
Oh, come on, really?
And there's some, must be some desperate people out there.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, okay, because you have the technical ability to do it, so where are your actors going to come from? And there's that old euphemism, well, the cream will rise to the top. But if you're eliminating the dairy product in the container, if you have no actors, if you have no writers, where's it coming from?
I'll tell you, though, that the people that I talk to who are very involved in AI are very confident that they're going to be able to perfect AI to the point where you're not going to be able to know the difference between a human and an AI. And it's going to be able to teach itself, and it's going to be able to learn, and we're not going to know the difference, right?
How terrifying is that statement? And you're right.
And I hear this. We were talking yesterday about AI and about just how people interact. And so normally we kind of try to tune ourselves to the person that we're speaking with. And, you know, if the person had a fight with his brother the day before, we kind of take that into account, right? We don't say anything goofy about, you know, your brother. But there's like, oh, no, that's all going to be possible for AI to account for that in its communications. And then well, why do we even bother living if it's
exactly.
if we take all the humanity and all the purpose out of our lives? What would we do if AI does everything for us?
That's why it has to be hard borders and hard controls over this. I've been doing this all these years. For the first time, usually in a contract negotiation, you argue about money and responsibilities. And that's always the fight. You know, you read athletes and performers, they want more money or they don't want to do this. Well, I'm thrilled and blessed, get paid a fair wage. And my answer my whole life in working, whether it's in the theater or on radio, was my duties are whatever you need me to do. I'm glad to do it. But when a clause came in that said we have the right to use your name or likeness for any reason whatsoever for any sponsor or client, that's terrifying. A, to me, and B, think of the damage you could do. We stay away. I don't do any hot button issues. I don't endorse a politician. I don't endorse a political point of view. And because that's not what we are. There are stations that are that and shows that are all about politics. We're not. We're a safe zone from that. We talk about music and rock and roll and life stories. So if there's a picture of me, even in another market, of Ken saying, vote for this guy, how do I combat that if
you
have
your
the
brand.
Right?
Yeah.
That would make me furious if somebody that to me. Because we stay away from politics, everything with this show, because people need a break, quite honestly.
Exactly.
But honestly, yeah, that is one of the scariest things, to think that somebody could take your persona, so to speak, and make it do something that is not aligned with your values.
Right. Plus, I mean, it's my livelihood. This, you know, we talk about passage to profit. This is how I feed my family. And, you know, when you think about computers and robotics taking over the assembly line, taking blue collar work, there's a mechanical reality to that. And it can be redundant work. And it's true, but you still need people to maintain the equipment and things. But as far as doing plumbing, as far as doing creative work in terms of building something, you have to have an architect, you have to have somebody, a builder, you have to have a designer, you have to have work done by a human being to do it. Those jobs are essential in healthcare. It can't be done by a computer. And that's, as far as the arts go, there's that sense of, well, these guys make a fortune. And yes, the top stars of the world that you see in movies that, you know, get a fortune, and maybe Howard Stern makes a fortune. But the other 95% of people in radio and TV are just trying to pay their bills.
And when it comes right down to it, sure, it's great to create something from these different sites, but it came from somewhere and it came from people, and they should be able to give their permission and be compensated. And I don't know how we get that message through strong enough to the current Congress or whomever. Now, the only good thing is that the current administration, which I will not say anything bad or good about, but the one thing I do know about them is they have a lot of IP, a lot of the people in that administration. So maybe they see the value of intellectual property, and maybe, I don't know what they'll do, but hopefully they'll say, well, you know, copyright law is important to this country.
Yeah, the one thing that I can't stress strong enough, and this is to your congressman, to conversations you have, and please hold this thought dear, this is not impeding progress. This is preserving creativity, the arts, and reality, so that when you see something on your screen, you need to know, is that real that you're watching or not? When there used to be mudslinging campaigns that go back forever. My opponent, you know, does
exactly.
You know, he physically goes to the jail and lets the criminals out and get feeds. You know, there was always that stuff. He takes money from the and you know, and it was what it was. But now, when you see a video supposedly of somebody doing something illegal, and you don't know whether that's real or not, you simply want to believe it. What is it called? Confirmation bias.
Right.
Yeah. I want to believe something bad about Ken Daschau. So if somebody puts up a video of it, see, I'll prove it.
Seeing is believing, right?
I mean, what if it's not?
And you can read stuff and you can know, well, maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But seeing and hearing something, there's a lot more credibility when you see it and you hear it. And if it's fake, then I think we lose our bearings, right? Because we don't know what to believe anymore, whether it's real or whether it's fake. And so I think there's a real danger here if this is allowed to continue on.
When this first started, Bob Dylan simply said one sentence. He said, when you can't believe what you see, watch out. Yeah, Bob, that's it.
What was scary for me, I have a cat podcast with another woman, Danielle Woolley. And what was scary was I put into Google Notebook just three sentences about cats and said, do a podcast. It was actually came up with a pretty good podcast. It was a woman and a man. They were talking about cats. The thing that was missing was they didn't say their names and they didn't say anything about their personal experiences with cats. Everything they got was very generic. They took a couple things from what I put in, but now Sora is coming to do that with video, and I don't know where this is going to end up.
That's, you know what you said, right now it's still in its infancy, and it is poor. It's really barely there. But Richard, like you said before, it gets better by leaps and bounds, and it's going to get refined and refined. And when you say do a cat podcast and create two names, it'll get to that point where you go, oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, why do they need me anymore?
Exactly.
Ken Daschau, personality at New York's classic rock, Q104.3.
Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
We'll be right back after this.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. 800-980-1761. That's 800-980-1761.
Are you running a small business with two or more employees struggling to find affordable health insurance? Well, help is just a call away. Whether you're a restaurant owner, retail store manager, or a gig worker with staff, we've got you covered. Get quality health insurance plans starting as low as $120 a month. Our custom comparison tool finds plans tailored specifically to your business. We know it can be tough to find the right coverage. That's why we're here, to make the process seamless and stress-free. Our plans include health, vision, and dental coverage, all at unbeatable rates. Call the Small Business Health Insurance Hotline now. We'll compare top providers to get you the best deal in one quick phone call. Don't wait. Secure the benefits you and your employees deserve today. Call now. Rates may vary based on location and coverage options. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. 802-491-2084. That's 802-491-2084.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
We have Ken Daschau at New York's classic rock, Q104.3. Here to talk about AI in the entertainment industry. There's nothing really now that's regulating AI.
Right.
There's no brakes on the train.
Right.
The genie's out of the bottle, right?
It's an unstoppable train at this point.
It's simply what you are and aren't allowed to use. If you can't have curbs which says, if we're going to use someone's existing image. Look, when you're making one of those dystopian futuristic movies, I think we all pretty much understand that it used to be an artist physically painting it with a paintbrush on a piece of glass, and now it's a computer creating that Mad Max dystopian future or another planet or Star Trek or whatever it is. We get that. But when it's replacing the human beings who are acting in the place, and it may look to the point where it's really good, but it's never going to touch your heart because it doesn't know how, because it doesn't have a heart. Think of the musicians you love or songs you love. Bruce Springsteen to Billie Holiday to whomever the person is that means something to you. It's coming from what they're really doing is connecting their soul to yours. And that's the magic of art, from a painting that's hanging in a museum to a movie to a show. And a computer, that's its limit, is it can create something that looks like it, sounds like it, but it can't have a living, breathing heart.
That's why a piano piece played by different people never sounds the same.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You couldn't say it any better. You can say it, play it like this, play it like that. But one night, if you know, the thing about the Grateful Dead, And, you know, everybody has to have every show. Why? Because every show was a little different. Sometimes it was faster. It was slower. Sometimes the band was in an angry mood. Sometimes they were just not together. Sometimes it was sloppy. And then it came together after a half hour. And everybody wants to go on that different journey. As we said, other bands I've seen so many times of my favorites, of Paul McCartney or Bob Dylan or, you know, name a band. Great nights, bad nights, interesting nights, quiet nights, loud and angry nights, rock nights. And that's part of the journey. If it's always exactly the same, I don't need to see it again.
Absolutely. I never realized that was why the Deadheads followed the Grateful Dead all over the country.
Well, also nothing better to do, right?
And, you know, by the way, we talk about Passage to Profit. There's a whole other show to be done about the brilliance of the Grateful Dead's completely illogical business legacy. Everybody spent all the time in the world stopping people from taping concerts because they're going to bootleg the concerts and then we won't be able to sell the live albums.
Right.
So the Grateful Dead never made any money selling albums anyway. So not only did they let them tape it, but they set up special sections so that the tapers would have a quiet area with people not screaming so they could get higher quality. And I've talked to them, Phil Lesh, may rest in peace, explained it and said, it wasn't a strategic marketing thing. We just thought, let them have the music and enjoy it. But what we didn't realize is over the course of a tour, we wound up with 250,000 salespeople all sharing our music, telling you, oh, you got to see the Grateful Dead. Oh, listen to this.
Yep.
And that's what built the legacy. And I'd love to tell you in hindsight how brilliant we were. We just thought, yeah, the kids want to have recordings of it. Let them have it. And that's what turned out to be our greatest marketing tool ever.
Brilliant.
There's something very pure about that,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's really, for them, it was about the music. And
you do it for the right reasons. And sometimes
and the karma just goes out there and handles it the right way.
Exactly. Oh, guys, this was so much fun. Elizabeth, Richard, we could do this for hours and hours. And again, all I can share with your listeners, with everybody listening, is this really is a reason to write to your local congressman, to your politician, write to your senator and explain that you see the danger in this of people losing their jobs in the arts where it starts there, but of everything, that there need to be curbs where you can't just take someone's voice or likeness and reuse it without their permission and without paying it. It's not impeding progress. It is destroying creativity.
100%.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Ken.
My pleasure.
It was a real pleasure having you on the program. We look forward to hearing all the great things that you're doing on Q104.
And the 12 o'clock Beatles block.
Yeah, you can't miss that.
So Sunday, Maria does 12 o'clock Beatles block. For me, Sunday morning, Breakfast with the Beatles. And again, it's exploded. And I don't say this with braggadocio because of me. It's exploded because of what the music means. What's magical about it is it's not programmed by anyone else but me. It's listeners. It's your ideas. It's their requests. And sharing why these songs mean something to the listener is the magic of it. And telling stories, my stories from my life and theirs about what these songs mean, that's become the magic why we've been doing it over 20 years.
And when is that?
Sunday mornings, Sunday morning. 8 to 10 on Q104.3 on the iHeartRadio app. And by the way, my Beatles podcast, Ken Daschle's Beatles Revolution, you guys should come on that one time and we'll talk music.
Sounds great.
I would love to. I grew up with the Beatles.
Sounds great.
Thanks for having me on.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.